I commence the reading of a paper by discharging a small, trivial, and insignificant intellectual debt, as behooves all serious scholars. This paper has profited considerably by not incorporating very many of the suggestions made to me by my friend and colleague, Dr. Robert J.C. Harper. An attempt to spread guilt and incompetency, however, necessitates a recognition that I must pay to his willingness to discuss the seriousness of academic arrogance in the modern world. He was furthermore especially enlightening about the true history of the footnote, which we shall come to later. There are some interesting connections between the ordeals, which were once a part of the life in the Colosseum under Rome, the ordeals practiced in the Middle Ages, and the special type of ordeal that the university colloquium, or seminar, represents in our own era. The connecting link is the steadfast obsession that humans have demonstrated with notions of guilt and innocence, truth and falsehood, competency and blundering, loyalty and disloyalty. Actually, it would be more apt to argue that humans have indicated a profound difficulty in living with one another on this planet without periodic resort to organized murder and persecution, to justify, at least in some limited way, these violent manifestations, rationalizations have been developed around the justice and the necessity for such actions. An Aesop fable captures the gist of this curious process. A cat caught a rooster and was looking for a plausible reason to eat him. First, he accused the rooster of being a nuisance to men because he crowed at night and wouldn't let them sleep. The rooster said that he did this for men's own good, for he was arousing them to go about their accustomed tasks on time. Again, the cat said, "But you are also a confirmed transgressor against nature in mating with your sisters and your mother." When the rooster also said that he did this for the good of men, also because he enabled them to have more eggs, the cat was nonplussed and said, "Am I to forego the pleasure of eating you simply because you always have an excuse?" Very few of you roosters out there expect to be arrested by some legal cat, subjected to a modern ordeal to determine your guilt, and then devoured by the prosecuting attorney who also served as your judge. Your belief, however, that you're unlikely to be arrested in the near future is based almost entirely on your own limited personal experience, not on whether you might actually deserve to be arrested, though perhaps not roasted and eaten for your crimes. There are, in fact, simply too many laws in existence for you to avoid periodic violations. We are all, quite simply, like it or not, cohorts in crime, though not all criminal activity is of equal importance for a society. Nevertheless, if you were to be held accountable for each offense against human life and property values that you have perpetrated simply while driving your car, you could end up serving time. And if your tax forms were to be audited with a vengeance, if your sexual behavior was exposed along with other assorted misdemeanors and felonies, then sure, you'd be up for life. But most of the time, you don't worry about such things taking place, however capable you are of demonstrating extreme nervousness whenever a cop walks or drives by. Awareness that we all have hidden criminal tendencies haunts our minds and leads to some curious thoughts. The universality of presumed immoral and illegal behavior even tempts some people to assume that the police would never, surely, arrest a person unless he was guilty. "Why else would they do it?" a friend of mine once asked with puzzled innocence. Why indeed? If the doctrine of universal guilt is actually true, then we should never evidence surprise at the knock in the night, with or without a search warrant. The point here is painfully simple. Try as we may, there is a presumption among many people that the individual who is arrested is actually guilty until proven innocent. Furthermore, even an accusation of guilt may be deemed sufficiently conclusive to render the collection of additional evidence as quite unnecessary. In fact, to question the integrity of the accuser may be indicative that you yourself have a hidden agenda of nefarious activities which also needs thorough investigation. A considerable amount of legal history revolves around the incomplete struggle to suggest that a person ought to be considered innocent until proven guilty, not the converse. One reason this struggle remains incomplete is that many people are strongly tempted to yield to the contrary position, namely, the suspicion that every person is guilty of undisclosed offenses. Furthermore, to come to the rescue of one accused of a crime may lead to retaliation by the state. The human race is a fearful and suspicious lot. We're an easy mark for those who wish to sell us on the idea that our deals are crucial to our existence. Thus, it's not surprising that we are all, in our own way, in search of the perfect ordeal. By this I mean that we are compulsively and mechanically, if not cybernetically, driven, so to speak, to devise constant tests to discover the guilt or innocence of others, with a keen desire, of course, that guilt will predominate our conclusions.